The book of Luke, reading chapter 8, verses 1 to 21. The parable of the sower. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand."
Continuing from verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. A lamp on a stand. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Jesus' mother and brothers. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Divya, Jeff, thank you very much. And please keep Luke 8 in front of you. There's much for us to explore there together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are with us now by your Holy Spirit and that you speak to us today through your living word, the Bible. Lord, please give us humble and open hearts that hear your word, trust it, and put what you say into practice. Amen. What things in life do you do carefully? We all have some things which we do quickly and without thinking, and then other things which we do carefully and thoughtfully. A couple of years ago, my two young sons and I prepared a Mother's Day breakfast in bed tray for Louise. We set the tray carefully. We put some smoked salmon on some toast, poured a glass of fresh orange. There may even have been a flower in a little vase on the tray. We carried it up to the bedroom door. Just before we opened the door, one of the boys, I won't say who, snatched the smoked salmon from the toast and crammed it into his own mouth. Should have been more careful. Well, last summer, I repaired our lawnmower. Imagine how careful I was doing that job. I knew the dangers. I checked again and again that the motor was disconnected. Well, I think back years ago when I was filling in the form to apply for university, the UCAS form, and it wasn't danger this time, it was the opportunity of studying at the university I wanted to go to that made me pore over every word. There are some things in life that we do quickly and thoughtlessly, other things that we do carefully and thoughtfully. Well, the question our Bible reading today challenges us with is, how carefully do you listen to God's word? Do you notice that in verse 18? Jesus said, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." I've been studying these chapters of Luke through this spring term, and chapters 7 and 8 of Luke's gospel are all about salvation. The salvation that Jesus came to bring. And we saw last week in chapter 7, verse 50, that we receive salvation through faith. So Jesus said to the woman who had been forgiven much and who loved him much, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We receive salvation by trusting in Jesus. And then today in chapter 8, we see another angle on how we receive that salvation. We receive it by listening to God's word. See, nothing could be more important than this. If we respond wrongly to God's word, we forfeit salvation. But if we hear and respond rightly to the word of God, we receive the salvation that Jesus came to bring. We're going to see three things in this reading this morning, and they all challenge us and encourage us to consider carefully how we listen to the word of God. So first, a wonderful message, a wonderful message. But look at verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And we've seen so far in Luke's gospel that Jesus' priority, his focus for his time, was spreading the word of God around the towns and villages of Galilee. And we see here in verse 1 that his message was the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God consists of people who live under God's rule and blessing. We see at the start of the Bible that we humans have turned away from God and rejected his rule over us. As a result, we live in a fallen world marked by sin and suffering and death. But the prophets of the Old Testament spoke of a day when God's kingdom would come, when we could be right with God again. And Jesus says that with his arrival, that kingdom has begun. We can turn from our sins, we can trust in Jesus, and come again under God's rule and blessing, being in right relationship with our Maker. God's kingdom has begun, and Jesus' miracles, his healings, his casting out of evil, his raising of the dead, they show us what God's kingdom will be like in its fullness, when he comes again and all is made right. Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, it would be just amazing to hear that just peace had been achieved between Russia and Ukraine, that the war was over. It would be fantastic to hear that a cure for cancer in all of its forms had been developed. But Jesus' message is even more wonderful. Now he has come, it is possible for us now to come into God's kingdom and be right with him, and to have a place in the future of God's kingdom, where there's no more sin and suffering, when all that is wrong with the world is put right. It's the wonderful message that Jesus proclaimed. Now we see at the end of verse 1 and into verse 2 that as Jesus travelled around proclaiming this message, he was supported by the 12 apostles, and also verse 2, some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, who had the manager of Herod's household. Susanna and many others. These women were helping to support him out of their own means. Actually wonderful to see on Mothering Sunday that it's these women who are held up as an example of faith. It was a sexist age, and in those days, rabbis would really only have male disciples traveling with them, but not Jesus. He so loved and respected women that his ministry team, his support team, was women and men together. And it is these sisters in Christ who are held up as an example of faith. They had been saved by Jesus, so now they followed him, wanting to be with him and learn from him. And they used their resources to support him so that others could hear the good news of God's kingdom. Now, proclaiming was Jesus's priority, because it's as people hear God's word that they are saved. We see that in a minute in the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. It's verse 11. And God's kingdom grows as his word is spread. People come into God's kingdom as they hear God's word and receive it. It's why Jesus spent his time proclaiming the word of God around Galilee. It's why as a church we need to together keep God's word central in all that we do. It's why if you're not yet a believer in Jesus, but you want to know God, you're in the right place. Keep coming and hearing God's word. Keep reading in Luke's gospel. It's why if we want others to come into God's kingdom, the most loving thing we can do is to help them hear the word of God by speaking to them ourselves, by bringing them to hear God's word taught, or like Mary and Susanna and Joanna, supporting the proclamation of God's word. See, Jesus has a wonderful message, the good news of God's kingdom. We can be right with God now, have a perfect future with him. And he proclaimed it because by hearing God's word, we come into the kingdom. A wonderful message. But next, we see a mixed response. A mixed response. In verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. Must have been very exciting for Mary, Joanna, the 12 and the others. Huge crowds coming to Jesus. Perhaps thousands of people were about to come to faith. But Jesus tells a parable that speaks of a mixed response to God's word. Verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Wanted people to really hear what he was saying. Verse 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." Now, those words of Jesus in verse 10 about the purpose of parables are surprising and challenging. When I was at school in religious education, I was taught that Jesus spoke in parables to make it easy for people to understand. A teacher said his hearers were simple country people,
So Jesus used stories so that they could easily understand what he was saying. But in verse 10, Jesus says the opposite. He says that for some, at least, he taught in parables to make it harder for them to see and understand. You see, Jesus's parables have a dual purpose. On one hand, they reveal truth to the open-hearted. But on the other hand, they conceal truth from the hard-hearted. You can imagine someone in the crowd that day who was just not open to the challenge of God's word. And they hear Jesus' parable, and they go home saying to themselves, "I knew it. Simple country stories. Nothing in that." They hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they don't see. God is judging their hard heart. But you could also imagine someone in the crowd that day who was open to God speaking into their life. And they hear the parable, and prompted by the Spirit, they think about it. They discuss it. Perhaps they ask Jesus about it. And they come to understand the wonderful secrets of the kingdom of God. Truth is revealed to the open-hearted. Now, in this way, Jesus' parables are like the automatic doors at a supermarket. You know those sliding doors at the shops? If you come close to the door, it opens and you are admitted to all the glories of the supermarket. On the other hand, if you keep your distance from the sliding door, well, it remains closed and you're shut out. So it is when we hear Jesus' parables. In fact, whenever we hear God's word, if we keep our distance, if our hearts are not open to God's challenge, well, we learn nothing. But if we come close, if we're ready to be taught by God, we find great riches. That's why we should pray before we read God's word that he'll give us humble, open hearts. We must be careful how we listen. We see this same mixed response as Jesus explains the meaning of the parable from verse 11. He says, "The seed is the word of God," and we were thinking about that. "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." These are people who hear God's word, and it's immediately taken away. Perhaps they don't listen at all, or they think straight away, "I won't believe that," or "I don't want to be challenged in that way." And Jesus says that what's really happened is the devil has snatched it away. Whenever God's word is heard, a spiritual battle is raging. We must pray that the evil one will not be able to take it away. We must hold tight to what we hear. The path is not the only disappointing result. In verse 13, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." This is someone who comes to church or to Christianity Explored, and they're so excited by what they hear. And they speak of Jesus with joy, but it's a superficial response. When trials come, perhaps illness or unemployment or friends keeping their distance because of their new faith, well, they give up on their faith, and it's shown not to be true faith at all. And did you see in verse 13 what the problem was? Middle of verse 13, they had no root. They kept God's word on the surface. You see, we must let God's word go deep into our minds and hearts. That happens as we think about God's word and chew on it. What is this teaching me about God, about myself, about life? God's word goes deep as we talk about God's word and as we pray about it, so that it shapes what we love, what we trust, what we aim for in life. Then when times of testing come, we're able to stand firm. Don't be like the rocky places. You hear God's word, but keep it on the surface. Let it go deep. The next response in verse 14 is perhaps even more of a warning. "The seed that fell among the thorns
stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature.
These are people who hear God's word, but don't give it space in their lives, so that over time it is just squeezed out by other things. Now, it can be life's worries that choke God's word. We all have worries about work, about family, finances and health. And God cares about our worries. But Jesus says, don't let your worries choke God's word. Don't let them stop you hearing and reading the Bible. Don't let your worries so fill your mind that you are not thinking about the promises of God. See, the other thing that can choke God's word in our life is life's riches and pleasures. Perhaps we get a promotion at work or the opportunity to travel or to take on new activities. Now, these things can be good gifts from God, but they can also be spiritually fatal if they squeeze out God's word, if they stop us hearing and reading the Bible, if they become the thing which is governing and shaping our lives, not the word of God.
A few years ago, I bumped into an old friend in the pub and hadn't seen him for years and years. And he had been my first Bible study group leader when I was 18 years old. And it was lovely to see him. I heard about the impressive job that he had and all the many pleasures he had in his life. But as the conversation went on, I realized he hardly ever went to church anymore. And really, he never read his Bible on his own. See, those riches and those pleasures had just choked God's word in his life. Jesus says, whatever happens, make sure there's space in your life to hear and read the Bible. And make sure that God's word has space to grow in you, to shape your thinking and your living. Isn't squeezed out by those thorns of worries, riches, and pleasures. Well, so far we've seen three disappointing ways to hear God's word. But then there are also those who receive it rightly. Verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. See, those who are good soil hear God's word and retain it. Now, retain means cling hold of. We should cling hold of God's word like a drowning person clings onto a life ring, holding onto it and trusting God's word to us. And those who are good soil, by persevering, produce a crop. Shows us the key to being good soil is actually perseverance. Keeping on hearing God's word, keeping on trusting it, keeping on putting it into practice no matter what happens. When trials come, when temptations come, when we fall into sin, those who are good soil persevere in hearing and trusting and putting God's word into practice. Please notice that being good soil has got nothing to do with our intellectual ability. And it's not about never messing up. No, it's about clinging hold of God's word when we hear it and persevering, keeping on hearing, trusting, and putting God's word into practice. And the searching thing about the parable of the sower is that all of these groups hear God's word. They may all have been in church, but only one group responds rightly. Now, Jesus does not say this to make us despair or to make us fatalistic, thinking that we may be stuck in one of these groups and there's nothing we can do about it. No, Jesus says this because he loves us and because he wants to challenge us to be careful how we listen to God's word. He underlines the point with the image of the lamp on the stand. Verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand. It's what Jesus was doing in his ministry, shining the word of God far and wide. In verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. One day our response to God's word will be made clear to all.
Verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Jesus is saying, be careful how you hear God's word. Hold on to it so it's not snatched away. Let it go deep as you ponder it and pray about it. Make sure it has space to shape how you're leading your life. Retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. It's a wonderful message, the good news of God's kingdom, a mixed response, and then finally and briefly, a new family. Verses 19 to 21, Jesus shows us that God's word, if we receive it rightly, brings us into his family, a new family. Verse 19, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, in saying this, Jesus wasn't rejecting his biological family, but he was highlighting the relationship with him which we can have if we hear God's word and put it into practice. It's wonderful to hear on Mothering Sunday what sons and daughters will do for their mothers. I read this week of one celebrity who, for Mother's Day, bought her mum 65 separate designer outfits, one for each year of the mother's life. So the mother came home on Mother's Day and found in her house all these mannequins or dummies, and each one with a different designer outfit on it. Now, I don't know how the mother found this. I think maybe the combination of all of the clutter in the house and then the emphasis on her age may have meant that it didn't go down very well. You know, often the best gift is the phone call or spending some time together. But it is wonderful to hear what human mothers, what human sons and daughters will do for their mothers. It's the same with brothers. It's wonderful to hear what human brothers will sometimes do for each other. Even those best relationships is only a pointer to the love that Jesus has for his people, who he called his mothers and his brothers. Think of the love that Jesus has for us if we trust in him. He didn't just give us 65 designer outfits. He gave us everything. He died on the cross to pay for our disobedience of God's word so we can be forgiven. Think how close Jesus is to us. Speaks to us through the Bible every time we read it. He hears our prayers. He lives in us. Think how committed Jesus Christ is to his people. He will bring us to the fullness of his kingdom where there's no more sin and sickness and sadness. Even the best human relationship only points to the love that Jesus Christ has for those who hear God's word and put it into practice. It's actually a way of talking about every Christian believer. It's not those who are perfect. None of us are. We all sin in different ways. But it's those who hear God's word and trust its promises and seek with God's help to do what it commands. See, if we respond to God's word in that way, well, we know that Jesus relates to us as his mothers and brothers. We are part of his new family. So friends, how carefully do you listen to God's word? It's a really challenging question. Nothing could be more important. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to come into God's kingdom, to be right with God now, and to have a future in that perfect kingdom when it comes. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to be part of his family. But it's not automatic. We have to rightly receive his word. So don't be like that seed on the path which just doesn't take anything in. Don't be like those rocky places that keep God's word on the surface. Let it go deep as we think and pray and talk about what we're reading. Don't be like that thorny ground that hears God's word and then it's squeezed out by other things. Make sure there's space in your life to hear and receive God's word. Fill your mind with his word. Let his word Not worries, riches, and pleasures direct how we live. Let us be that good soil which clings hold of God's word, trusting in it, and which perseveres. Whatever happens, keeps listening, trusting, and obeying. That's what it means to have true faith. It's how we come into God's kingdom. It's how we grow in God's kingdom. It's how we live as part of his family, as we hear and receive his word. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that through your saving death on the cross, you have made it possible for us to come into God's kingdom. Lord, we thank you for your word, where you teach us how to enter that kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you would enable us to be good soil. Make us those who hear your word, who trust it, and who persevere in putting your word into practice. In your name we ask it. Amen. Amen.